Okay, Kevin. Well, good morning, brethren and sisters. As we know, today is Remembrance Sunday, a time when the nation remembers the casualties of the two world wars and conflicts which have occurred more recently, such as the Korean War, the Falklands War, the Northern Ireland conflicts, the Gulf War, Iraq and Afghanistan. And the symbol of this remembrance is the Royal British Legion poppy. It's an emblem which people often wear on their lapel. Now, this morning, we're not here to discuss the merits of this form of remembrance. However, today is still another Remembrance Sunday, a Remembrance Sunday for each one of us. Because today we have another opportunity to remember and reflect on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have the chance to remember and reflect on what type of impact and effect his death and resurrection should have upon us. So this morning, I'd like us to think for a short while about the theme of remembrance. Because when you think about it, our memory is a truly remarkable thing. It's a real gift from God that is vital for our daily and spiritual living. In an instant, we can trigger a memory of a certain event that occurred to us in the past. Sometimes events taking place around us will trigger memories without us being truly aware that the memory is being recalled to mind. The memory is somehow just appears as if from nowhere and can quite often be very vivid. Another thing I find so wonderful about our memories, it doesn't just give us a visual mental picture. We will often also experience certain feelings too. A memory can bring to the surface certain feelings and emotions like sadness, happiness, anxiety, and fear. And these feelings then affect our physical being. These emotions and feelings can make our heart beat faster, bring tears of sadness to our eyes, or sometimes they bring a smile and a look of contentment to our face. And God has given us the gift and the benefit of memory for us to use. Our memory allows us to learn and grow from past experiences. It creates emotions within us which drive us forward through life, allowing us to grow and develop in maturity. And as we get older, our memory acts as a type of scrapbook, reminding us of times, events, and people that have affected and molded our lives. The sad thing about our memory, though, is it becomes less reliable as the years move on. Certain memories become distant, pushed to the back of our minds, crowded out by the busyness of events happening in the here and now. And also, as we grow older, the brain starts to lose some of its efficiency. The memories become forgotten due to the aging process or due to disease like dementia. God, though, understands the frailties of our mind and the frailties of our memory. But he also understands the usefulness of our memory. So it comes as no surprise to see that remembrance is an important concept or theme within our scriptures. Indeed, as Brother Kevin has said, today we're meeting around these simple emblems, which are a feast of remembrance. For Christ commanded his disciples to partake of this simple meal of bread and wine in remembrance of him. And it's Peter in his second epistle who shows those who he was writing to and to us the point of remembrance. Will you come with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because here in Peter's second epistle, he is writing to those early believers who are experiencing problems with false teachers and with those who are promoting pagan ideas which are coming into the ecclesia. Verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Peter says he wanted to stir up their minds in remembrance. He wanted them to remember and think on the teachings of old, spoken by holy men such as the prophets, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the apostles. And that phrase, stir up, is translated in some modern Bible versions as stimulate. And that is what remembrance is all about. It should stimulate us, mentally and physically. It should put us into a certain frame of mind where we are ready to recall God's truth and all that he has done for us. And once our minds are stirred up, once they're stimulated spiritually, we're then able to discern things better, to learn more effectively. And as verse 18 says, it shows us that remembrance on God's teaching and ways will then help us to be steadfast and grow and mature spiritually. Verse 17 for connection, it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And in this second epistle, Peter is quite keen on this concept of remembrance. Come back with me, please, to chapter 1. We're going at verse 10. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. He writes, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, that phrase again, stir you up, stimulate you, by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter knew that these early believers were at risk of forgetting the truth if they became entangled with the false teachings being promoted by others. He knew that these early believers needed a positive reminder of God's truth and God's ways, so that these things were the things that became fixed in their memory. And by having these things fixed in their memory, they would then be able to resist those enticing ideas that were being taught by false teachers. And as Peter says in verse 16, he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. He says, we've followed what is true. We remember what we have been taught. We do not follow cunningly devised fables. And his epistle is one of warning and one of correction, reminding his readers of what is true, of what is right, and the importance of remembrance, keeping God's word in our mind. And it's the same for us, brothers and sisters. We live in an enticing and very subtle world, where the tolerance of today's society can and will influence us individually and as ecclesias. That is why it's so important that we have the things of God firmly planted in our memory, and that we regularly call to mind God's teachings and his guidance. As we all know, remembrance doesn't just take place here at the memorial table, but rather it takes place daily in all the things that we do. God, through his servant Moses, stressed the importance of remembering him in all aspects of our daily life when he addressed the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. Come with me, please, to Deuteronomy and chapter 6. We know that the book of Deuteronomy is about the law and the covenant of God being repeated to the nation of Israel prior to their entry into the promised land. Almost 40 years had passed, hadn't it? 40 years had passed since Israel had been brought out of Egypt. Due to rebellion and faithlessness, those original Israelites who had been aged 20 years or over when they had left Egypt had been condemned to die in the wilderness. The children who had left Egypt and those who were born in the wilderness, along with Joshua and Caleb, were to be the new generation who would enter the promised land. And in the book of Deuteronomy, God pleads. He pleads with them to be more faithful than their fathers had been. And that is why there's such a strong emphasis in Deuteronomy on the need to remember. They needed to remember all that God had done for their parents and how they needed to learn from their parents' failings and God's judgment upon them. In Deuteronomy, there are 9 references about not forgetting their God. 9 references about not forgetting their God. And 14 references concerning remembering him and his ways. So it's very clear that this is an important concept in God's eyes. For example, here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have the children of the Israelites to be taught about God's ways. They're to be taught about his ways and all that he has done for them. But to teach one's children, the Israelite adults needed to call to mind and remember, firstly themselves, all of the things relating to God. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The children of Israel are told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Words we know really, really well. But you notice in verse 7 how the teaching of this children was to affect absolutely every aspect of the life, of daily life. It was when they were sitting in the house, when they were out walking by the wayside, when they were lying down, and when they were getting up. The Israelite children were to be constantly reminded throughout each and every day of God's word and of his laws. Therefore, the adults each day constantly had to remember what God had done, what he had said, what he had instructed. And the word teach at the beginning of the verse is really interesting. In the original Hebrew, it means to whet or to sharpen. You might have that in your margin or in your reference. And it relates to how a whetstone effectively sharpened a blade, such as a knife or a sword. What we're being told is that God's word does the same to the children being taught, and it does the same to those who are doing the teaching. God's word sharpens one's thoughts. It sharpens one's conviction if we allow it to be in our heart and in our mind. The world will daily try to blunt us. The tolerance and pride of society around us does affect us. But once we turn our thoughts again to God's word, once we think on him and faithful examples of old, then it will sharpen our spiritual focus once more. It is Paul, isn't it, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, who describes how the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You don't have to come with me to it. You know the words well. But it's Hebrews 4, verse 12. Where we are told, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's a discerner, it's a critic, it's a judge. So God's word, meditated and thought upon, allows us to discern between what is important and relevant for our lives. With God's word within us, we should be better able to make correct judgments, to make spiritual decisions that are pleasing to God throughout our daily walk. And that is why reading God's word regularly throughout the day and thinking about it is so important, because it reminds us of our mortal state. It reminds us of what God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, have done for us. And with the hectic lives we often live, we can become too focused on worldly things. Yet by reading God's word and allowing it to penetrate into our thoughts, it helps us to remember. And it reminds us of who we are and whom we serve. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God gave the children of Israel even more of a stark warning about remembering him and not forgetting his majesty and power. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So the whole point of the wilderness journey was to prove them and to remember the ways of God. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Those are so apt, aren't they, those words for us? It's when we get comfortable in our lives that we can start to forget our Lord. Affluence and ease does increase the incidence of spiritual apathy. And we can become filled in the pride of life, of what we have achieved. And at times we can all be guilty, can't we, of putting something ahead of our service to God, whether it be our work, whether it be family, whether it be hobbies and interests that we have. But it's quite clear nothing should come between us and God. And in verse 18, we read, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. There was a warning of God's righteous judgment if the children of Israel forgot their God. It's the same warning for us. For these things are written for our learning. As we know, though, sadly, Israel did forget their God. They didn't remember God's ways, but rather sought after the lifestyle and pagan gods of the nations around them. They ended up neglecting their calling to be separate, to be a holy nation. And in Hosea chapter 8, which we read on Thursday, we have a damning critique of the state of Israel and how they had become an idolatrous nation. Hosea chapter 8. This is a side point. In what we read today in Hosea, we have the wonderful love of God and how he loved Israel as a child, as he's born them up, as they learn to walk, and he's been there as a father. But here in chapter 8, we see that he's still prepared to bring judgment upon them if they do not do as they are told. Verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He, that's Assyria, shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel have cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Israel thought they knew their God. It's quite clear. They had cast off the thing that is good. They had cast aside God and his truth. And I know personally at times I've done the same. Verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall there be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. They had become consumed by the nations and the worldly things around them. We too can get swallowed up in the things of this life, can't we, brothers and sisters? Verse 13, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Israel, for Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. And Judah have multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. We can easily become like Israel. We can easily forget or neglect our duty of service. We can forget to be separate, holy unto our Heavenly Father. Our human nature will pull us away from God if we do not keep it in check. And that is why it's clear from the pages of Deuteronomy and other parts of the Bible that God knew the vital importance of remembrance for each one of us. And we are gathered here today to remember and refocus our minds on the one who needed to be provided for our sinful nature. Our Lord Jesus commands us, doesn't he, to break bread and to drink wine regularly in remembrance of him. This feast of remembrance that we will soon share in fellowship reminds us of our frail and wretched mortal state. It reminds us all of the sins which we so easily commit, the weaknesses that we all have. In this feast, we also remember all that Christ willingly endured for us so that we can have a hope of salvation. We all need God's forgiveness, don't we, brothers and sisters? We all need his bountiful love and mercy. And the beautiful words of David in Psalm 103 remind me at this time that God understands my frailty, that he will forgive me and he will deal with me far more justly than I truly deserve if I willingly and humbly admit my sins. Psalm 103, verse 8. Absolutely beautiful words. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. It's wonderful, isn't it? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And as we know, if we go out of this building, we start walking east, we will never come to the west. We just go around the circumference of the world and keep going east. But if you go north, you get to a point where you then start going south. We are being shown the indefinite amount of forgiveness God will give us and just how far God removes those transgressions from us. Verse 13 shows that he pities us. He loves us, even though we are erring children. I believe all God wants from us is to realize our failings, and to try and serve him in reverent love and fear. And then did you notice God remembers things too? In verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He remembers the sins that so easily besets us due to our mortal nature. He understands our frailties. And these are comforting and reassuring words, aren't they, brothers and sisters? For we all need God's mercy. Earlier, we looked at how Peter wanted the early believers he wrote to be stirred up, to be stimulated due to their remembrance of those things that are spiritual and eternal. Now, as we partake of these emblems, we too should be stirred up, brothers and sisters, as we remember our Master's great sacrifice. As we remember our Lord Jesus' life of dedicated service, as we think on his willing and painful death, does it really affect us? Does it make us truly desire to become better servants of God? Will we leave here today more determined to overcome our sinful nature and to dedicate more of our daily life to God's word? Does our Lord Jesus' death make us feel wretched about our sinful nature, also truly thankful for his death and God's love in providing him as a sacrifice for our sins? Only we know individually what it truly means to us. Also, God knows too, doesn't he? And he sees how these things affect us or not, whether they stir us up, whether they stimulate us. So during the coming week, may we all remember regularly everything that our Heavenly Father has done for us. May we remember our commitment and the vow that we made at our baptisms to serve God faithfully and foremost in all aspects of our lives. May we live lives of obedience through remembrance. And if we can do this, then through God's strengthening power, we will continue to grow spiritually. We will not neglect or forget those important things which relate to our faith. And like those faithful few that Malachi wrote of in Malachi 3 and verse 16, we too might be of that number who feared the Lord, whose names are written in the book of remembrance, and who through God's grace and mercy will be remembered at the return of our Lord Jesus and given the great gift of eternal life. Our prayer surely has to be, even so, come, Lord Jesus.